Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we adore you. We place none other before you. We give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory belongs to you. We thank you for yet another chance, another opportunity to come before your presence, to share your word, to share what you have placed on my heart. God, let it be meet for those that need something. Let it be meet the needs for those that need their needs met. Lord, let it be satisfying and soul refreshing, and allow somebody to go forth and go on and to go and accomplish everything that you set for them to accomplish, God. I hide myself under your cross. I hide myself under your wings, under your shadow, God, so to not see me or hear me, but see you and hear you that speaks through me, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen. Good morning, and God bless you, City Reach, Burlington, and the world. Thank you so much again for joining with us. As we start our new series in the month of June, where some of my fellow brothers from the city, from the church, will be sharing with you from their hearts different men that are going to be, that pursued their dreams in spite of their circumstances, that pursued their dreams in spite of the oppression or the pressure that was coming their way, that pursued their dreams in spite of whatever attacks might have come their way. Basically, so it's going to be called Chasing the Lion. So men that chased after their dreams and chased after their whatever their passions were and accomplished through God's hand and God's grace. And so we're all going to talk about that. And I'm going to start it off about chasing the lion. And the main characters in the Bible, you know him, David, King David, the king of the second king of Israel. One where the city of David is named after, the one that established government, the one that established, one that was the reign of Judah, and the one that God looked after, the one that God anointed, the one that God had his eye on, because he had his heart, his eye on God's heart. He's after God's heart. So we know David as king. We know him as a shepherd. But we also know him as a warrior. He was a mighty warrior, one of the greatest warriors the Israelites have ever had. He was so famous and so known for his prowess on the battlefield. He even had a song named after him. People sang his song like, you know, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. So he had his own theme song going on. So everybody knew when David was coming to town, David was coming around. It's like Shaft. It was like, who's that man rolling around when there's danger rolling around? Shaft. I'm just talking about David. That's David. He was known as a warrior at that time. But he wasn't the only warrior. He wasn't the only one that was feared and by his enemies, that was adored by his loved ones and family members. He had him with him a bunch of warriors that were, if not on the same level with him, but right directly beneath him. He had his what he called the top three of his warriors. Their names were Jashobeam, Eleazar, and Shammah were his top three generals, if you would call it. They were the top three warriors that fought hand in hand with him and had killed their thousands and killed different enslaved their enemies as well as much as David had. And they also, he had the three generals on the top three, Jashobeam, Eleazar, and Shammah. But we're also going to talk about, he had another 30 men that were his chief warriors, that his chief co-mates, co-laborers in on a battlefield. And I'm going to talk about one of these 30 men, one of the top ones. He was almost as famous or just as famous as his three generals. And his name was Benaiah. If we look in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, starting with the 18th verse, we're going to talk about read the story of Benaiah. It's not mentioned much in the Bible, but this is kind of gives him one of his accolades and one of his stories and one of the things that he would be known for in the annals of history, of Israel history. And it reads, there was also Benaiah, son of Jehadiah, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which include killing two champions of Moab. Another time, and on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Once, armed with only a club, he killed an opposing Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched that spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. Deeds like these made Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors. He was more honored than the other three members of the 30, though he was not one of the three. And David made him a captain of his bodyguard. And so that's what we're going to talk about this month, chasing after the lion. What would make Benaiah or a warrior chase after a lion? It's like, you know the story, you know, a man is in a wild, a man is in a kingdom, and a man sees a lion, man runs away from lion, or if not, man dies or gets eaten by a lion. But not Benaiah. He flipped the script on that story. And that guy said, you know, these are the kind of men, these are the kind of characters that David hung around with. These were the kind of men that was in his corner. And I have a question for you. Who's in your corner? Who are you surrounding yourself with? My mother had a saying, I could tell the type of person that you are by the people you hang around with. If you hang around with a bunch of jokers, you're going to be a joker. If you hang around with a bunch of slackers, you're going to be a slacker. If you hang around with a bunch of thieves, you're going to be a thief. You know, it's like guilt by association. If you were hanging around with your friends and your trusted friends, what would you all be guilty of? Would you be guilty of cheating, lying, stealing? Or would you be guilty of fighting for the good fight, doing good things, helping and extolling each other and building up empires and chasing after your dreams no matter what the circumstances? What would you be guilty of if I looked at who's in your corner, who's in your circle of friends? Benaiah was known as a valiant fighter who performed many exploits. So just a sample of that was written down in the scriptures that we just read. And in the midst of it, he, because of that, because of his exploits, because of his prowess, because of his tenacity and his fierceness and his fearlessness, David trusted him as his chief bodyguard. So David trusted the king, trusted Benaiah with his life. And he had the ability to trust to watch after David's life as if it was his own. He had the task of protecting the king. Imagine that. Benaiah had the task of protecting the king. And I reminded of another bodyguard that had that same task of protecting the king. David. David had that same task as protecting King Saul when he was king. So David knew what it took to protect the king. So he trusted because he knew what he could trust. He knew the kind of character. He knew the kind of tenacity. He knew the kind of fearlessness. He knew the kind of the person that would never give up, the person that would never try to back down from a fight. He knew that that's the kind of people, that person that he wanted to have his back. That's the kind of person that he wanted to have his corner. And I'm asking you, who do you trust to have your back? Who to trust to have your corner? Who, if I was to turn around and there were enemies coming behind me, I don't have to turn around and fight them because I have somebody behind my back that has my back and could take care of business. Who's handling your back? Who's on your six? One of the things that I've discovered this past year and a half is that although a lot of things and businesses have shut down, God has not shut down our imaginations. And our thoughts and our dreams and our passions, and allowed us to go forth and to put those plans and those imaginations into actions. And now we have businesses that we didn't have before. And now we have industries and people doing things differently than what they did before. A lot of churches have shut their doors down because of the pandemic. They couldn't gather the way they've done, but it didn't stop God's word from going forth. We just adapted and adjusted and did things God differently. And I don't see things changing. I see things growing from where they were before. We might have gotten into stagnation, so we're stuck into a way of doing church the same way. And God says, I'm going to disrupt everything, and we're going to do things differently. Use your imagination. Now we've been able to reach people that we haven't been able to reach before. Before, we were stuck in the four walls of the church, and God doesn't want us stuck in the four walls of the church. He wants us to go out into the world and to spread the gospel and spread the good news. Because of that, because of this pandemic and because of we had to adjust and adapt to do things differently, we're going things, the church is different than the way it was before. And I don't see it going back. God doesn't want things to go back. He wants us to go forth and to do what he's called us to do. Even in private industries, a lot of companies have shut their doors and people have been working remotely and working from home and figured out, wow, we can actually do that and save money at the same time and not have to worry about buildings and electricity and lights and things like that. And we're still as productive, or if not even more productive than we were before. Industries are changing. Companies are changing. Even throughout this year with this whole systemic racism with the George Floyd murder. A lot of companies, the CEOs are putting their and a lot of corporations are putting their execs in check and say, look, I need something different. This board needs to look different than it was pre-2020. It can't be all vanilla. This board does not have to be vanilla. This should be reflection of the community that we're serving. And I believe God has called the church to do that as well. He doesn't want a vanilla church. He doesn't want us to be just one way or one stagnant way. He wants us to be a reflection of a community of believers that God has called us to reach. No longer will you see just one type of worship, one type of color, one type of person or entity. God wants variety. God wants the whole world to be represented into his kingdom. So that has shown me this year and a half has shown me something different. Like all those things, businesses have been shut down and industries have been shut down, but our imaginations have been waking up and to do what God has called us to do, what God wanted us probably to do from the beginning. We got stuck. So now God has shaken us up and we're back to do what God has called us to do. Amen. So if that even calls for, if God do what God's called you to do, if you have to shake up your circle of friends and change who you hang around with, instead of hanging around with people that are just comfortable with where they are, with the status quo. Sometimes you need to hang around to people that are not comfortable, that want to go and to do bigger things and have great ideas and to do great exploits. Even if it means changing your circle of friends, so be it. Because either they're going to help you grow or they're going to watch you go. And that's okay. I still love you, but you serve my purpose and my purpose is gone. Some people are in our lives forever. Some people are in our lives for a season and your season is up. And it's okay. I still love you. If you want to help me grow, we can go on. But if not, you can watch me go. And that's okay. And the thing is, it's okay to dream. And it's okay to do things and walk those things out. Because dreamers are always going to have either haters or helpers in their circle, in their family, in their lives. And you can't help it. So who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to hang around with? Who's going to be in your corner? Who's going to have your back? Are you going to have a hater or are you going to have a helper? So what can the haters do? What can the helpers do? The helpers can help you grow. The haters can keep you back. So what do you want to do? You want to stay back to where and just be comfortable not accomplishing everything God's called you to do and be stuck in the same cycle that we were in the past? Or do you want to do something new, do something different, and do what God has called you to do? Go ahead. I dare you. Get you about around a bunch of winners, a bunch of achievers, a bunch of overachievers, a bunch of entrepreneurs with entrepreneurial spirits, and do what God has called you to do. Even if it's like in the industry that you're working in, working in that industry, even if the ministry's in the industry, I mean, it's just like, go ahead and do what God's called you to do. What's the worst that can happen? We've already been through a pandemic. We've already been through a shutdown. And we've lived through it. We've lost some loved ones. We've lost some friends. We've lost some family members. They're in a better place. While we're here, do the best that God has called you to do. Amen. Even if you fall, even if we fail or slip, here's the thing, that's going to happen anyway. But here's the thing, don't take it personally, because failure is what you did. It's not who you are. You are not a failure. You are not a mistake. You're not a has-been. Even if you're older than everybody else that's trying it, go ahead and do it. A lot of people try late. A lot of positive people. Oprah Winfrey got fired at 30 or whatever, 29 years old. Like a lot of the big artists and some actors started late in life. Jay Rickens or whatever her name is that does the Harry Potter, she started late in life. I don't read those books, but even if you're older than anybody else, it's okay. You can start at 80. You can start at 70. You can start at 50. It's never too late to start. Just start. It's never too late to do it. Just do it. While you hear me, do it. While you're sitting there watching me, do it. It's not too late. Chase after that lion. Have that courage and go forth. My bones don't feel right. My body doesn't feel right. I don't have the energy or the stamina that I used to have. Just do it. And watch God give you supernatural strength, supernatural stamina, supernatural ability to do those things, that exploits that God has called you to do. Because you'll be doing something that you love and you won't even feel it anyway. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 28 chapter says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the world. You will experience all of these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offsprings of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord will bless you in the land he is giving. So I said all that. God promised that to Moses. He says, look, just do what I've called you to do. Do what I've commanded you to do, and you will be blessed. All it takes is courage. Goliath type of courage. Lion chasing courage. Chasing after the thing that could kill you. But with God's strength and with God's power, I'm going to do it. So, here's the thing. The lion is going to come after you whether you like it or not, whether you're looking for him or not. So it's up to you. It's time to stop running and start chasing. Chase after that lion. Chase after that dream. Chase after that passion. Chase after that calling. Chase after those things that God has put on your heart to do. Your dreams, your passions, the things that you woke you up at night and you wrote down in your book. Pick up that book and that plan and put it into action. Find somebody that could walk this thing out together with you. God wants you to do more than where you are. Don't be comfortable for where God has you right now. Just keep growing, because God wants you to grow. God wants you to do what everything he's called you to do. He's giving you those dreams and those plans and those scary dreams. Do those things that God has called you to do, because you are a winner. And I believe God that everything that God put in your heart to do, do it. And watch God work out in your life. Even if the enemy's roaring in your mind saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the lion is roaring in your heart and roaring in your mind, trying to distract you and try to destroy you and show his teeth and breathing his breath down on your back of your neck. And the hairs of your neck are standing up. Just like, you know what? You might have the receipts of my past. You might have the receipts of my failures and the receipts of my sins. But I trust in Jesus. And Jesus paid all my debts. Jesus canceled all of my negative receipts. And it's under the blood. I'm a winner through Jesus. I'm a leader through Christ. Christ is the one that conquered even death, hell, and the grave. And because he can, so can I. I'm a child of the King. God sent Jesus down on a cross over 2,000 years ago to pay that debt for you and for me. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We come to the part of the service where we ask Christ to come into our hearts. This is the whole point of the matter. This is the whole meat of the matter. To allow Christ to come into our hearts and to it's a starting point to do what God has called us to do. To have Christ come into our hearts and change our hearts, change our minds, free us from sin and allow us to do what God has called you to do. Make us clean, make us new people. God is what God wanted us to be from the beginning. We call it the ABCs of salvation. A is to admit or acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If we declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Acknowledge, believe, confess. And to ask Jesus to come into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, to cleanse us and make us what he's called us to be from the beginning. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. And listen, the angels are rejoicing right now over you. There's a party in heaven right now over what you just did. What did you do? You gave your life to Christ. And God is excited to have you into his family. God is excited for your soul, for your the thing that you just did. God is excited. Jesus died for you and is excited for you right now at this moment for the decision you just made, for the choice that you just did. He makes us free agents to choose him, life or the death. And we chose life. And God is happy and is excited. We are excited too. Here's what we want to do. I want you to be surrounded by a herd of believers, a herd of fighters, a herd of warriors that will have your back and to allow you to grow into what God has called you to do. I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen. Thank you so much for joining with us. I hope something was said here to bless you and to encourage you, to allow you to go forth and do what God has called you to do, because there's greater ahead for you. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, bye, back in my home.